RPI President Shirley Ann Jackson is noted for her work in theoretical condensed matter physics, as well as her work as chair of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission from 1995 to 1999. She was appointed president of RPI in 1999. Most recently, she was inducted into the New Jersey Inventors Hall of Fame, receiving its prestigious Trustees Award. It's an honor for a lifetime of leadership and achievement in STEM policy and research. President Shirley Jackson, we are so thrilled to have the chance to speak with you today. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Take us back to the beginning. How did you first become interested in STEM?
I was always interested in math in particular, but I also would collect insects in our backyard and did experiments. I never had insect collections with dead insects. I only had live insects because I wanted to observe them and look at their behaviors and so on. But I was interested in a career that would allow me to blend my interest in math with an ability to predict and to understand what was happening in the world.
You grew up in Washington, D.C. and started school at a time when schools were still segregated. How did that affect your education and your preparation for a career in the sciences?
Two events coalesced within a couple of years of each other. The 1954 Supreme Court decision, the Brown versus Board of Education decision, which integrated the public schools in Washington. I'm a public school product. And the other was the Soviet launch of the Sputnik 1 satellite. And that riveted the nation's attention on strengthening the education of young people in science and math. So that school integration sent me to a school which I couldn't attend before. And so I had amazing teachers in everything from math to Latin to economics. And in particular, my math teacher had a big influence on me. She was kind of inspirational to me. You know, I had a number of choices. And then I ended up in an accelerated program in middle and high school. And then when I was looking to apply to colleges, we had an assistant principal for girls and an assistant principal for boys. Interestingly enough, the assistant principal for boys encouraged me to apply to MIT. So I applied and got in, and so actually started out in electrical engineering. But then I took what is called quantum mechanics, and I fell in love with that, and that made me decide that I wanted to do physics.
What were some of the biggest challenges you faced as a woman studying science and engineering?
I was lucky. I happened to come along when a certain window in time opened, and I was prepared to step through it, and I did. Now, I mentioned that the assistant principal for boys at my high school encouraged me to apply to MIT. Interestingly enough, the assistant principal for girls did not. And in fact, she was fairly denigrating of my thinking I could go to MIT. I really ran into more of the rough seas once I actually went to MIT. I did run into resistance from some faculty and even some of my fellow students. And so there was a lot of isolation and statements and things where people didn't think that a woman or an African American should or could study certain things. That was a very hard from a psychological point of view, social, with being accepted, and my classmates wouldn't work with me, and you know, I was left out of study groups. And then when I was getting my PhD, it was a tough time for physicists getting jobs. So I had colleagues who would say that I was taking up a spot that should go to a male. What has not happened is that it has not dissuaded me from what I wanted to do.
Fast forwarding to the present, researchers at Yale University recently published a study proving that physicists, chemists, and biologists are likely to view a young male scientist more favorably than a woman with the same qualifications. Do you think women interested in pursuing careers in STEM these days are still facing some of the challenges that you faced?
You know, we have made some progress, but the numbers, particularly in the physical sciences and in fields like computer science and certain fields of engineering, we're still lacking. So there's a lot to be done. And there are still embedded attitudes about what women can and should do. And depending on the young woman and what overall support network she may have, as well as her own makeup, these things can be very hurtful and dissuade young women who have great talent from pursuing careers.
A professor at Brown University recently made headlines for calling attention to a lack of Wikipedia pages for influential women in science and technology. She spearheaded a Wikipedia edit-a-thon with students to help add and edit entries to increase the presence of women in STEM on Wikipedia. What do you think of that effort?
I think that's a great idea because it says, let's take social media, let's take what is there that is so ubiquitous that so many people use, and let's push awareness of women's contributions in science by making more people aware of actual women in science. I think it's a great thing, and it's clever.
Were you surprised by the perceived low presence of influential STEM women on Wikipedia?
Yes and no. We have to start with the fact that there isn't enough written about women in science more generally. We also have the fact that scientists are not well understood. Many times there are caricatures about them. And so people don't really understand and delve into science, even as we use technologies rooted in science every day. If you look at the degree to which Nobel Prize winners are written up every year in the media, on a relative basis and relative to what they have contributed, these write-ups are pretty modest. Many of them are males. Most of them are. So now you fold into that gender, and you have an exacerbation when within science itself, many women, most women, a lot of women, you pick your descriptor, are not recognized.
What kinds of efforts are being made nowadays to attract young women to careers in STEM?
Getting more women into STEM fields has to be considered against the backdrop of encouraging more young people generally to enter STEM fields. And so right now there are real questions about government investment in science and engineering, in basic research, in support of those who do science and engineering. And so we have to have the right investment strategy, policies. I think universities themselves have to do things. We have to have a society that values science and those who do it. Too many young girls today are still told that they can't do math and science, even when they're good at it. I think there needs to be a conversation about the linkage, and these things may seem too sophisticated in some ways when you're saying, let's get girls into science, but a conversation about wealth creation that comes from what comes out of science and engineering, the technological innovations. We need to talk about the excitement of discovery.